after the death of Moses and under the leadership of Joshua, the nation of Israel finally and miraculously crossed the Jordan River and entered into the promised land. God had promised them his miraculous help to defeat the Canaanite giants and the enemies that faced them in the promised land. But first, before that, he commanded them to build a pillar from stones and put plaster on it and place it on Mount Ebal as they began to go into the land. Then the law of God that was given to Moses for Israel was to be written for all to see on the plaster of this large pillar. By the way, I watched, and this pillar has been discovered in the 20th century, and the remains of it can now be viewed in Israel. It's there for us to view, amazingly. So the Lord told Israel that if they diligently followed his laws, that he would bless them with many physical blessings. But he said if they turned away from his written word, the laws given to Moses for them, there on that pillar in Ebal, he would bring down a series of curses upon them. And you can read about all those curses in Deuteronomy 27 and 28. And one of the physical blessings that was promised to Israel if they kept his laws was what I want to focus on this morning. It's in Deuteronomy 28, verse 12, the first part. I'll read it. It says, "The Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure, the heaven to give rain unto the land in his season, to bless all the work of thine hand." You know, we're in April, and you might not look at it that way. I'm always glad to see Steve Manning here when it rains, because he said he didn't like to drive in the rain. But it's been raining lately, and Steve's been coming in spite of it, and Brenda. And you know, there's a phrase, I'm sure you've heard it before, April showers bring May flowers. And we're having some April showers today. We had some April showers yesterday, and that's seasonal. That's what it's supposed to be. Just like March is a lot of wind and so forth and melts snow, well, April showers bring May flowers. And God promised Israel that if they kept his commandments, when they went into the land that were written there in that big plaster pillar, Mount Ebal, that God would give them blessings in the promised land, including rain showers that they needed for their Mayflowers, for their fruit. And he said, though, that he would not send that rain unless Israel diligently adhered to God's commandments as they were written down there, and that's why God wanted it written there right at the beginning. Now, you know what happened, or at least you should know, that Israel failed to keep God's laws. And instead of the blessings that are written here in Deuteronomy 27 and 28, came all of the curses. And you know, God had five of the tribes on Mount Ebal, and the other ones on Mount Gerizim, and then the Levites were in the middle, and the Levites would read the law of God, and the tribes on the one side, Mount Ebal, would read out the curses of the law if they didn't follow it. The people on Mount Gerizim would read off the blessings of God if Israel followed the law of God. But they failed. And they were struck with the curses. And they were kicked out of the land. And they didn't have their April showers to bring May flowers. They didn't have the fruit that they needed to have. They had a lot of famine, a lot of hardship. And so this morning, I want to say three things about how you can have seasonal showers of blessing. How you can have in your life seasonal showers of blessing from the Lord. And the first thing I want to say is, first, you must have a perfect obedience that fulfills God's law. You must have a perfect obedience That is perfect righteousness that fulfills God's law. Israel did not have that. And remember that Israel was God's chosen earthly people, and that if you're saved today in this church age, you're part of God's heavenly people called the bride of Christ. And the earthly people of Israel are chosen by God as a nation to inherit his earthly land, his physical and spiritual blessings in the land under the new covenant. But in order to get that, since they failed to do it, they got to have a Messiah that would save them and give them what they failed to get. And Israel has not accepted Jesus Christ. And if you've not accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you will also not inherit the spiritual blessings that God wants to give the world. And you will miss out and you will not get showers of blessing. Now, Israel got physical showers. You will not get the spiritual showers. And one day they're going to live in their land in physical bodies. They're going to have babies. They're going to thrive and get all the promises that God promised to them. But it won't be because they were good and they kept the law perfectly. They failed to do that. And Israel will have showers of blessing, and the desert places over there are going to blossom like a rose. Now, already, I've been to Israel, and already a lot of the malaria and a lot of the bad places, the swampland, the mosquitoes, have been removed, and there's more and more fruit trees and fields, and God is blessing Israel, but nothing like he's going to bless them when the kingdom comes and they're going to be in their land and Israel will be the head of the nations. But right now, during this time, God has turned from the Jewish nation because they rejected his law and they rejected his Savior. And he's going to the world. He's going to people like you. And he's saying to you that you can inherit the blessings that God would give you that are spiritual blessings by accepting Israel's Messiah as your Savior. You don't have to be Jewish to get saved. You don't have to have all of the background that Israel had to get saved. And God is giving you that opportunity. And if you receive that, the Bible says if you die, you're going to go to heaven, but then heaven is going to come down to this earth and it's going to hover over Mount Zion in Jerusalem, and in that heavenly city you'll live. And as you serve God now in the kingdom of God that's coming, you will come down and you will help the Lord reign over the earth, and the people of Israel and the people of the earth that will be living in physical bodies and having babies, you will be in a glorified body living in that wonderful time to come. And that's what God is doing right now. And God is calling out a people right now that can be part of that kingdom. So here in Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 12, we can apply the showers of blessing for Israel to us spiritually. It says, "The Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure, the heaven, to give the rain unto thy land in his season, and to bless all the work of thine hand." And that's God's blessing for Israel. But God can give us spiritual blessings, and God can bless the work that he's given us to do in this time, during the church time that we're in right now. And let me say this, that you or the nation of Israel cannot inherit showers of blessing by keeping the law of God. You say, what are you talking about? The Bible says in Galatians 3:10, "Cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them." If you want to get the blessings of God, the spiritual blessings, the showers of blessing, you have to keep everything that's written in the Bible. Every commandment that's written in the Bible. And everybody has failed to do that. And so the Bible says that we are under a curse. We are under curse. I tell people all the time. I say, if you're a murderer, if you commit one murder, you're a murderer. But if you ever hate anybody in your heart, you've committed murder in your heart. And so before God, you're a murderer. And then I say, you know, if you commit one murder, you're a murderer. Hate somebody, you're a murderer one time. And then if you ever tell one lie, you'd then be a liar. And I said, if you cheated on your spouse with somebody else, you'd be an adulterer. But if you ever had lust in your heart for somebody, not your spouse, then you're an adulterer. And if you ever took God's name in vain and said Jesus Christ or God D.A. in a vain way, then you're a blasphemer. And I said, what do you think God would do at the judgment day? And he has his laws there. And you're guilty of being a murderer, a liar, an adulterer, and a blasphemer. And then I tell them, you know what? You would die and you would not get into God's heaven. And you would be shut out. And in fact, you'd have to pay for your sin. And I say, we're all on death row. And we're headed to death to pay for our sin. That is the curse. We're under a curse because we have failed to do everything written in the book of the law. You say, well, how can I avoid that? How can I be good enough to avoid that? Never hate anybody in your heart. Never ever have lust in your heart. Never ever tell one lie. Never do everything written in this Bible, and you will live forever in God's heaven and in his heavenly kingdom. But the Bible is very clear, and it says, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. And the Bible says there's none of us that are righteous. We're all under a curse. We're all on death row. And so we all need another way to get the showers of blessing that we need in our life. And I'm so glad the Bible says Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. You see, we deserve to die and be cursed and go into the second death, the lake of fire. But guess what? Israel's Messiah was hung on a tree, a cross, and went through God's curse of death, went through hell on that cross, and was forsaken by God. And he drank the poison of the curse of all the sins where we broke the law of God. And now he has finished that work. He said it's finished. It's paid. The curse is done as far as Jesus is concerned. And why did he do that? So we might have the blessing of Abraham. God said that you're not going to get the blessings, the showers of blessing in your life that you need through keeping the law, because nobody has done it. But you can get it through Jesus Christ, who came and was born of a virgin, lived a perfect life. He drank all the poison curse of breaking the law, even though he never broke it. He took it upon himself. And he lived out a perfect, obedient life to everything in the book of the law. And then he died and was buried, but he rose again to give you a perfect report card, all A's on your report card, just as though you'd perfectly kept the law of God. And that's why it says in the Bible, for Christ is the end, that is the goal given for righteousness, that's perfection in God's sight, to everyone that believeth. You see, you've got to give up your own self-righteousness. And you've got to put all your eggs in Jesus' basket. You've got to put your trust in him alone to save you. And if you do that, all of your sin is given to Jesus, and he died and paid for that sin in full. All of the perfect obedience that he lived is given to your report card, so you're treated as though you got all A's, even though you didn't on your report card. And therefore, God says, okay, you are righteous. You can now have the blessings of God in your life. Israel will have that in the future in the land, but right now, in this time, in the church age, you can have all the spiritual blessings of being right with God and being in God's sight as perfectly accepted. And you can have these seasonal showers of blessing in your life. You've got to have, first, a perfect righteousness. Second, you must be willing to do the work of God. I want you to look at verse 12 again. I'll read it. It says, the Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure, the heaven to give thee rain unto thy land in his season, and to bless all the work of thine hand. See, we're not saved by doing good works. The Bible says, for by grace are ye saved, that not of yourself, it's the gift of God. When I got saved, I didn't keep all the law of God. In fact, I saw I was under a curse and I was going to die and go to hell for breaking the law of God. I knew I had sin in my life. I knew I was guilty of breaking the law and guilty of murder by hating, guilty of lust by having lust in my heart, guilty of adultery and so forth. I knew I'd broken the law of God and was under a curse. But then I heard the good news about Jesus being God's gift that kept the law for us, that died and took the curse out of the way for the world, so that anybody in the world that looked to Jesus could immediately be made right in the sight of God and have all the blessings of the showers of blessings showered upon us because of Jesus Christ. And that's what is the good news. And I receive that. But you must be willing, once you're saved, to work. It says, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourself. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Then it says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto what? Good works. And so God saved you now, so that you might work for him. Even successful people in this world, they work. I was telling my Sunday school class, I heard an interview with Elon Musk. He said pretty much he works every waking hour of his life. He works pretty much every waking hour of his life. Now, that's not going to get him to heaven, amen? That's not going to get him to heaven. But he works every waking hour. Donald Trump works and sleeps about 4 hours a night, does hard work. Listen, God didn't save us by our good works. We can't be saved. But God saved us to do good works for him. And I think about a farmer, and a farmer can go out and say, God, I want you to bless my field. I have 5 acres of land here. I want you to bless my field and give me crops and give me fruit. And he prays for rain that would come down to water his field. And God sends the rain. But what good is it going to be if he didn't clear the land? What good is it going to be if he didn't plow the land? What good is it going to be if he didn't plant seed? You see, that rain is not going to do him any good whatsoever. Now you take another farmer, and that farmer has his 5 acres, and he goes out there, and he cuts down the trees, and he plows the land up, and he plants the seed, and he cares for it, and everything else, but he doesn't pray for rain. And God doesn't send the rain. Is he going to get any fruit? No, that fruit's not going to grow. And the crops are going to die if they do start to grow for starving and lack of rain. And so I'm saying that once we're saved, God wants us to do a work for him. When he brought Israel into the promised land, he said, I'm going to bless the land. I'm going to give you showers of blessing. But that didn't mean they didn't go out there and plow. That didn't mean they didn't clear the land. That didn't mean they didn't plant the seed. That didn't mean they didn't have work to do. They had to work that land. But God then sent showers. And if you've been over in the Middle East, you know they need water over there. If they don't get water, it turns to desert fast. By the way, all sunshine makes desert. And so they need that rain to come on the land. But because they didn't keep the law of God, they didn't get that rain. But thank God that if we are saved by Jesus Christ, God said, I will give you showers of blessing in your life at seasons of your life when you need it. But you had better do the work of God. And the work of God that you do is very, very important. And as a church, we're seeking to do a work of God. We have a campaign coming up, and we need to invite people to come out. We need to go out soul winning and tell people about Jesus. And we need to do that work of telling people about their sin and about going to hell and about how they can be saved. And once they get saved, we need to help them come down the aisle and get baptized and put on the uniform. I was talking to a guy the other day. He trusted Christ as his Savior. And I said, actually, it was two guys. They were up at Dunmore. They were on the baseball team at Penn State in Dunmore. And these guys were in this area, and they were great young guys. And I was talking to them, and I was saying, once you get saved, you have to put on the uniform, and that is come to church, come down the aisle, and get baptized. And I said, well, you guys, are you ready to get saved? And the one guy's name was Cameron. He said, I'm ready right now. I want to be saved. And he prayed to receive Christ. And he was a ball player on that team as well. And I thank God for that. That's the work that God has called us to do. We have to plow the ground. We have to plant the seed of the gospel. Plow the ground by telling people about their sin and about hell and death and all the rest of it. And then God says, I will put the showers on your work and I will bless your work. By the way, I want to tell you, if you're doing that work of God, it's not in vain. The Bible says, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know your labor's not in vain in the Lord. Why is it not in vain in the Lord? Because God said, I will give you the showers of blessing. I will shower it upon your work. I will bless the work of your hands. But if we're not doing any work, if we're not giving anything toward missions, if we're not giving anything toward the work of the Lord, if we're not going out and telling people and giving people the gospel of Jesus Christ and inviting them to come, then how can he bless that work? There is no work to bless. And see, that is so important. We're not saved by the works of the law, but we are saved unto good works. God has ordained that for your life. If you're a child of God, he wants you to join the church and to do a work for God. Mary had a little lamb. It grew up sheep. It joined Scranton Revival Baptist Church and died for lack of sleep. Have you ever heard of that one? And there is a sense in which that's true. There's sometimes I'm working so hard, Brother Matthew, I get tired. And one day I was like you yesterday. I just went out. I was sleeping most of that day. It just, my body just wouldn't get up. And the next day, man, I was up and ready to go. And I've been going, and I'm going again. And you know, that's what God wants. God wants you to be like a cell phone. You have to recharge that battery at night, and then you run that thing in the day, and then you recharge it again, and you run that thing a day. And that's what God wants. In other words, what I'm saying is how you can have showers of blessing in your life, how you can have it in your church. You can have it first by putting your faith in Jesus Christ to give you that perfect obedience, that perfect righteousness on your report card by faith in Jesus. He did it so that you can have that. And then the showers of blessing can come in your life because God can't touch you. God can't touch you because you're unclean. God can't touch you except to judge you for your sins and send you out of his presence, send you away from himself. Because you are not righteous in his sight, and he's perfect. And so you've got to, first of all, realize that you must have a perfect righteousness through faith in Christ. But second, when you receive believe that, God wants you to do His work. And His work, His main thing is what Jose sang about this morning. And I know he knows about it, the value of one. And one by one, you can tell people about their sin and their need to be saved from hell. And tell them that there is somebody that's willing and ready to save them. By the way, if you're here today, God has a plan for your life. And if you trust Jesus Christ, you will have the blessings of God in your life. You will not be shut out from the showers of blessing. Why should others be showered with blessings and you die and go to hell? If Elon Musk is not saved, he's not going to get the blessings. Paul the Apostle felt sorry for people that were not saved and did not have the wealth and the riches and the blessings of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you say, well, what are the blessings today? What is the wealth today? Well, Israel gets blessings in their land, and they get all kind of crops and fruit when they accept the Messiah and the kingdom to come. But right now, we're seated in heavenly places. We have a mansion in heaven. I've never seen it, but it's there. You sang about it today. We believe it's there. We look at the things we can't see. There's spiritual blessings, but that is blessing in itself, that people have eyes to see spiritual blessing. I remember giving a will to the gospel, and she said she was brought up in a Pentecostal Spanish church, but it was all, if I got to keep the law. I got to be a good girl to get into God's blessing and into God's favor. And then when she heard that Jesus did that for her, the veil was ripped away. And she could see it was a free gift of God. And that she was right with God through simple faith in Jesus Christ. And I was talking to a Catholic lady up here. She was probably in her 90s, I'm guessing. She had a home up here. And she came to the door, invited me in. She's just living there alone. And I was telling her, I was looking for that veil to be ripped from her eyes as I was telling her about Jesus. Do you see it today? Charles Spurgeon came to a church, and the guy, the pastor wasn't even there. It was a snowstorm, and a lay guy came up there, and he started preaching, and he said to the young man, just look to Jesus. Don't you see him? He came out of heaven. He lived a perfect life. He died on that cross so that you could have the blessings of God in your life. He paid for the sins of the world. Just look to him. Look unto me, all ye ends of the earth, Jesus said, and be ye saved. You're saved not by keeping the law of God. You don't get showered with blessings by obeying the commandments of God. No, you must believe in the one that did that and that died and rose again. And that young man, you know, the veil was ripped away. He saw Jesus. And he got saved. My grandmother was witnessing to me, and she was just telling me about Jesus. I don't even know she was trying to get me saved. I don't even know if she knew whether I was saved or not. But I wasn't saved. I was under conviction. I was realizing I was under the curse of God. And by the way, you have to understand that first, that you're under the curse of God for your sin. And you will die and go to hell because God must judge your sin and send you to hell just like anybody else. And you can't do good to make up for the bad. The bad is still there, you know. And so when she was talking about Jesus dying, my eyes were open and I saw Jesus had paid all and I had to just accept his gift. And that's what the Bible is saying here, that if you want showers of blessing in your life, if you want it in your family, in your church, you get them, first of all, by accepting the perfect righteousness that God provided in His perfect Son, Jesus Christ, and in His death, burial, and resurrection for our sin. And second, you must be willing to do the work of God to get others to accept Jesus Christ. And that takes work. And that is what God wants. And God blesses that work in your life. And we're going to have 7 weeks of an opportunity to do the work of God. But God cannot bless and send showers into your life if you're not doing that work of God. He wants you to do that. And lastly, how can you have seasonal showers of blessing in your life? Thirdly, you must have the right reason for the showers a blessing. Again, in verse 12, it says, "The Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure, the heaven to give the rain unto the land in his season, and to bless all the work of thine hand." But did God bless the work of the hands of the Israelite people? No, because they didn't keep the law of God. And the same thing that gets you saved is the same thing that gives us revival blessings in our church, revival blessings in our life. In other words, if you want to go to God and get Him to bless you, you don't come in your own name. Jesus said when you pray in Jesus' name. And that doesn't just mean say, in Jesus' name, amen. No, that means you come depending upon the Lord for God to bless you. And that being the reason why God would bless you. In fact, the Bible says in the book of Proverbs, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth into it and is safe. You know what? I'm so glad that when the storms come, I can get in my car and get out of the storm. I'm glad I can get out of the rain. I'm glad I can get under cover when there's hail and there's storm going on. And if there's a tornado, I'm glad I can get in a basement or get down under the ground and be protected from that tornado, because it'll tear everything up. But you know what? The Bible says that the name of Jesus Christ is our strong tower. And we can get in that name of Jesus and we can ask God for showers of blessing, because He is worthy and He's the reason for the showers of blessing. He's the reason for the showers in their season. And the book of Hebrews says this: Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Sometimes you feel good, sometimes you don't. Sometimes you're better and sometimes you're worse. Sometimes you're up and sometimes you're down. But Jesus Christ is always the same. He is unchanging. And He is the reason that God not only can send you to heaven, but can send you spiritual refreshment in your life, so that you can go out and do His work, and God the Holy Spirit will convict people of their unrighteousness. God the Holy Spirit will convict people that Jesus is the only way to be right with God and to put their faith in Jesus Christ. And God the Holy Spirit can cause them to be born again and to give us showers of blessing of people getting saved and then coming and showing their faith by being willing to put on the uniform and get baptized. See, what we're talking about, listen to me, is that we're not talking about some different weird work of the Spirit going on. We're talking about the normal work of the Holy Spirit, but we want more of it. It's one thing to have just a little bit of rain. And some people have just a little bit of rain. It's not enough to really replenish the ground. They need to have showers of rain, right? They need to have enough to raise the water table, Brother Joe. And you know what? What we need in America today, it's been too long, is we need a lot of rain. We need spiritual revival. We need people to get right with God and love God, love His Word, love His work. I mean, you need that in your own life, and we need that in other people's lives. And I think about that. I think about 9/11, and when that happened, that was a movement to take away our freedoms, I believe, and part of the globalist plan to take away our freedom. And how did people respond to 9/11? Well, they all went to church, but it didn't last, did it, Brother Jose? No, they just went right back to living the way they were before. That's not showers of blessing. Showers of blessing is when your heart gets changed. And when you love God and you love His Word and you want to be here in church and you want to get into your Bible. And then you love it when you witness and you see people and they get under conviction and they get saved. What a blessing that is. What a blessing that is. Showers of blessing. And that's what we need today. And I believe some of God's people, you got saved and you got blessed and you got to get a home in heaven. But right now you're asleep. Right now, you're backslid. Right now, you don't love God. You don't love His Word. You did, but you got away from it. But listen, God can give you a revival. He can give you back that first love. And He can give you back that joy. And you say, well, why can He do that? Because of the same reason you got saved, Jesus Christ. As we receive Jesus Christ by faith, so we're going to get the blessings through faith in Jesus Christ. We come to God in His name and say, Lord, we need a revival. Lord, we need a more of the work of the Holy Spirit. And we need Your work in and through our lives. And God will give us the showers of blessing. I think about John, the apostle, when he was in heaven in the future. And he saw the need to kick Satan out of this world because Satan is not in hell right now. He's walking around this world. And John saw the need to kick Satan out. And he saw the need for the kingdom of God to come back to this world. And you know what? He started crying and weeping because he never could see even one man that was worthy to judge the world and to bring in the kingdom of God. And then one of the high-ranking angelic elders said to John, stop your crying. He said, look, here's a lion of the tribe of Judah. Here he is. He's able to take the book. He's able to open the seals on the book. And he's able to fulfill that and then to pour out the wrath of God and kick out all the globalists, kick out all the people in this world that have not accepted your King, the Savior, and bring in the kingdom of God and bring the showers of blessing upon Israel and upon the bride of Christ in the world to come. It's all tied up in Jesus Christ. He is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. By the way, He's the Lamb of God that was offered up to take away the sin of the world. Jesus is a lamb that paid for our sin as an innocent lamb, but He's a lion that's going to come. I'm so glad the work is already done. Jesus has already defeated Satan. He tries to make you think He's stronger than Jesus. He tries to make you think He's stronger than God. He tries to make you think that right doesn't exist, that wrong is the powerful thing. I'm here to tell you that, and to serve notice on the devil, Jesus already defeated him when He died on that cross and took the judgment of God for the world so that anybody in the world can be saved and have showers of blessing coming into their life because of the Lord Jesus Christ. And He's coming back the second time just to kick all the squatters out. If people are squatting in this world and they haven't accepted Him, He's going to kick them out. And by the way, when somebody dies, they're being kicked out of this world and they're going to hell if they haven't accepted Jesus. And so I'm just saying this morning that you can have seasonal showers of blessing, but first you must have a perfect righteousness that only Jesus Christ gives. Second, you must be willing, once you're saved, to do the Lord's work and to work hard. And third, you must have God's reason to receive the showers of blessing on your work, the work of the Holy Spirit on your work. And that reason is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. By the way, that's why we lift Him up. We don't preach ourselves. We don't preach some man. We preach the God-man, Jesus Christ. And your hope and your faith needs to be in Him. Let's bow for prayer. Every head bowed this morning. We've been talking about how